this episode of the Fisheries Podcast, I talk with Tom Heinrich of the Minnesota DNR about how invasive species are affecting the walleye population at Lake Mille Lacs. Thank you for joining me. I am Nick Kramer, and this is the Fisheries Podcast, a weekly podcast that shares the stories of the amazing people and projects that make up fisheries science. If you haven't already, follow the podcast on Twitter, at Fisheries Pod, or on Facebook at facebook.com/fisheriespodcast. I recently had a listener reach out to me via email and request that I do an episode on Lake Mille Lacs, so our guest today is Tom Heinrich. Tom graduated from the University of Guelph in 1984 and was lucky enough to land a job with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation as a fisheries technician on Lake Erie. After 6 years there, he was offered a position in Baudette, Minnesota, where he worked for 27 years as the large lake specialist on Lake of the Woods, getting to work with walleye, sauger, northern pike, and lake sturgeon. For the past year, however, he has worked on Mille Lacs as the area supervisor, juggling a variety of interests and challenges. Welcome to the podcast, Tom.
Well, thanks for having me, Nick.
So the University of Guelph is one I've never heard of before, I guess. Where is this school and what drew you there?
Well, the school is in southern Ontario. It's near Toronto. And what drew me there is that I spent a fairly significant part of my childhood in Canada. And one of my goals was to return to Canada when I had graduated and worked there. I never quite got back to Canada, but I did work on Lake of the Woods, which is on the border of Minnesota and Ontario. So I got pretty close, but I never quite got back to Canada.
All right, and since graduating, you've had the opportunity to work on some truly large lakes, Erie, Lake of the Woods, and now Mille Lacs. I guess, do you enjoy working on the larger waters, or is it more that you think you'd get claustrophobic working on the smaller ponds?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird deal because I am kind of prone to seasickness. But no, I do enjoy working on the larger bodies of water. And I think the reason is that, the two management agencies that I've worked for devoted a lot of resources to those waters. And because of that, we have some really nice, long, continuous data sets. And when you have something like that, you can really see how your fish populations are changing.
As I mentioned, you've had the opportunity to work on those Lake Erie, Lake of the Woods, and now Mille Lacs, and all of them are popular destinations for anglers. I guess, which of them, in your opinion, was the most enjoyable to work on as a biologist?
I'm almost kind of out of the field biologist role right now. I'm a supervisor at this point, but I really enjoyed my career on Lake of the Woods. You know, I enjoyed living in the community up there, and I just enjoyed working on the variety of fish species that we had up there. And so that made it interesting because there was always just something different to do. And because the fish all cooperated, producing year classes on a fairly regular basis, you know, we just never had an awful lot of controversy up there. So that made for a pretty easy career.
Which of those lakes that you've worked on did you enjoy the most as an angler?
You know, it's kind of funny that, you know, I've been doing this for quite a while, but I really don't fish that much. A couple of years ago, I discovered fly fishing, and that Lake of the Woods area is really big water. And so I was able to fish, fly fish some of the tributary streams and rivers, and that was fun. But what I really enjoy is ever since I moved down into central Minnesota here, is that there's just a variety of smaller water bodies to fish. And so I enjoy fishing things like bluegill and, you know, largemouth and smallmouth bass, you know, because those are really nice targets to go after with a fly rod.
You just brought up that you recently moved down to Mille Lacs, and it's a lake that gets a lot of attention being about 2 hours north of the Twin Cities, I guess. Mm-hmm. What was it about Mille Lacs that drew you away from 27 years on Lake of the Woods?
So on Lake of the Woods, I was the large lake specialist up there. And when we do our surveys, one of the products that we have to produce at the end of the year is a large lake report. And that's really just a compendium of all the information that we managed to gather through the year. And for a long time, we actually had annual creel surveys. And so after writing about 27 large lake reports and, you know, probably almost as many creel survey reports, you know, I think I was kind of ready to take another step in my career. The other thing that drew me to the area was some family issues. Our kids lived kind of in the Brainerd area, and so there were some advantages to coming down here.
And in your bio, I described your current position as juggling a variety of interests and challenges. Is that a good way to describe the area supervisor for the Mille Lacs?
I think so. It's I still get to play with biology. Mille Lacs is the only water body that we deal with in our office, and we've got a small staff here. There's only three permanent professional level folks, and then we've got two seasonal creel clerk positions, and then one permanent creel clerk. And so it's a little bit of a different role that I play here. I still get to go out in the field just because it is a small staff, but at the same time, I have the ability to get a little bit more involved in the management decisions that are ultimately going to impact the lake and our anglers.
Yeah, so one of those things you're juggling or monitoring is how different invasive species are affecting the lake. I guess, what are some of the more pesky invaders that you're dealing with up there, and how might they be affecting the fish?
Well, the two most significant ones that we have right now are zebra mussels, and the other one is spiny water flea. And they kind of work on in different ways on the whole food web. So zebra mussels, a big impact that they have is their filter feeders. And so what they do is they filter small phytoplankton out of the water and basically use that as a food source. And the problem with that is that that's also the base of the food chain for any amount of zooplankton that forms the base of the planktonic food web that walleye tend to rely on. And what happens with zebra mussels is nothing really eats them. And so they are essentially a dead end, for the whole energy transfer of food as it goes through the system. So what zebra mussels have done is they typically tend to reduce the amount of zooplankton that's available for moving energy up through the food web from plants into animals. And then we had spiny water flea move in as well. And what the spiny water fleas do is they eat zooplankton. They themselves are a fairly large zooplankton, but they feed on smaller zooplankton, and in particular, they feed on one of the groups of zooplankton called cladocerans. And so cladocerans tend to be a fairly important food source for young persids, so walleye, perch. And what that really does is it just leaves less food available for fish that we're particularly interested in as anglers.
So one of those fish that anglers are particularly interested in, especially in Minnesota, is the walleye. And a few years ago, Mille Lacs kind of stopped the world when they announced that they are going to close the walleye harvest. Is that tied to these invasive species?
Yep, we think so. What we had is we had very high populations of walleye in the early 2000s. We've done a number of population estimates on there. We had over a million walleye longer than 14 inches. I think it was in 2002 we estimated that. And what we saw after that was a fairly steady decline in walleye abundance, down to where in 2013 and 2014 we only had about 250,000 walleye, and that happened at quite possibly as a result of some reduced carrying capacity of walleye, but also we had some very high angler harvests during that time period, and those could have been driven also by reduced food availability. So when young eyer yellow perch aren't very very available, walleye become very vulnerable to being angled. And then for what was a 4 year period there, I think in 09, 10, 11, and 12, we produced some very weak year classes. So when you have 4 week year classes in a walleye fishery that's fairly intensively fished, that just causes some issues. At the same time, we co-manage this fishery with some 1837 treaty bands who have treaty rights to fish on the lake, and so the amount of harvest that they have has to be accounted for. and at the same time that we have to manage in accordance with some of their wishes or their desires for the fish population. And so when you look at, our fish population over about a 10-year period, declining to about a quarter of what it had been at one time, that caused some concerns. And we just didn't feel that the lake could support any harvest at that time. And so the fishery was actually closed to harvest. We still allowed some catch and release fishing during that era. But as we got close to some safe harvest allocations, we did actually have to close the fishing completely to anglers targeting walleye.
So that was my next point to bring up with you. At one point, there was even a closure on catch and release fishing for walleye, and I'm sure that didn't go over well. I guess, how did the Minnesota DNR navigate this without getting the torch and pitchfork from the public?
Well, luckily I wasn't involved in that. I've kind of been here in the era where the fish population's been rebounding, so I've been kind of lucky in my career in that way. But there was certainly an awful lot of pressure put on the DNR by our public and by some of our political leaders, and that did cause some heartache, throughout the agency, I guess. There was a lot of pressure put on us. But I think ultimately what prevailed was that, we had some pretty good science behind us, and people were able to listen to, why we made the decisions that we did.
Being in Kansas, I'm not too up on the current going ons up in Mille Lacs, but in preparing for this, I read that this year you will be allowing anglers to harvest some walleye, so that must mean the population is on the rise. Are things looking good for the Mille Lacs walleye?
Yeah, we think they are. So the changes that we saw was right after we had four very weak year classes produced. We produced a very strong 2013 year class, and then the 2014s were, just kind of on the edge of weak, but the 15s, 16s, and 17s look like they're at least of average strength, and so that gives us a lot of optimism for the future. The way we've been managing this fishery is, the last couple of years we have allowed anglers to harvest one walleye in the winter, but then it was only catch and release fishing during the summer. And what that's done is that's protected that 2013 year class very, very, very well, and to the point where now, even though they're 6 years old now, but they're still forming like, oh, I think it was like 40 or 45% of all the walleye that are out in the lake right now. And we did a population estimate this past summer, and our population is about 730,000 walleye, longer than 14 inches. So it's, essentially tripled since 2014.
Walleye gets a lot of the attention, but there are other species in this lake, and it's a popular destination for bass fishermen as well. I guess, are there other species in this lake facing similar declines, or was it mostly just walleye?
Well, the interesting things with zebra mussels coming in is that the walleye population kind of took it on the chin. But at the same time, the conditions that make the lake maybe a little bit less suitable for walleye actually makes them much more suitable for smallmouth bass. So as zebra mussels became more established, we saw our smallmouth bass population really take off. And in addition, the northern pike population is currently larger than it has been for quite a while. And I'm not sure if that's as a result of zebra mussels or if that's just kind of a natural population fluctuation. But one thing I would like to point out is that the other species that we have in the lake, so other than walleye, we do have trophy class smallmouth bass fishing, northern pike fishing, and also muskies out here. And those, of course, I guess they don't have the same huge following that walleye do in Minnesota, but they certainly provide a really cool opportunity for anglers when they visit the area.
All right, Tom. Well, thank you for filling us in on all that's going on up north in Mille Lacs. But I guess now the tough part of the interview is over, as we are down to the final five questions.
Okay.
This is a group of five questions that I ask each of the guests that come on the show, and we always start real simple with, what is your favorite fish?
Well, I thought about this long and hard, but the fish that I've enjoyed working with the most over my career is probably lake sturgeon. And there's a couple of reasons for that, and maybe the most important one is that lake sturgeon are part of a group of fish that are very, very easy to overharvest. You know, they're slow growing, they're long lived, late maturing, don't spawn every year, so they're easy to overharvest. Well, the lake sturgeon population on that Lake of the Woods, Rainy River area has really rebounded since the late 1960s. And we had a lot of, projects that were targeted on lake sturgeon, and those things were just a really cool fish to work with.
All right, Tom. Well, what is your favorite memory from your career so far?
You know, I've had a pretty good long career, and I have to think about this one a long time. But my favorite memory was probably... I think it was back in the early 2000s. And I don't know if Kansas became part of this or not, but there was a disease that kind of cropped up. It's viral hemorrhagic septicemia. And it started cropping up through the Great Lakes states. And as a result of that, we had to do a lot of monitoring to see whether the disease had actually gone inland from Lake Superior, and infested any of our inland lakes. And so as part of that, we had to test a variety of species on Lake of the Woods to see if we could detect any of the disease. And what I was doing on one particular day, my crew was a little bit short. And so I had a daughter that was in high school at the time. And so I managed to talk her into going out and lifting some northern pike trap nets with me. And then we brought about, I think it was about 50 northern pike back to the office. And the protocols called for us sampling the kidneys and the spleens. And so what I had to do was I had to cut out a section of kidney and spleen, put it in a little Whirlpack bag, and then put it on ice and then send it in. And so my daughter's job was to, first of all, to help me lift the trap nets and then bring all these pike back. And then I had her holding the bag while I was pulling kidneys and spleens out of these dead fish. And then we were kind of gabbing, and at some point she just kind of looked at me, and now consider that this was a high school girl. She just kind of looked at me and said, "Dad," she says, "you've got the coolest job in the world."
That sounds like a great memory that you got to share with your daughter of all people as well. So,
yeah.
And earlier you mentioned that when you were younger, your dream was to make it back to Canada or work in Canada. I guess the third question is, what is your dream job or dream location?
Well, I've been fortunate, I've been able to have several different jobs, but, strange as it may sound with all the controversy that we've got going on the lake here, this I'm kind of living the dream right now, and as I mentioned earlier, I've always enjoyed working on the big water bodies just because of the long-term data sets that we've got available to us. And we do have the opportunity to tackle some complex issues, so you do get to exercise your brain a little bit. And that's really just the kind of thing that I enjoy. So basically my dream job right now is I'm living it.
All right. And if money was not an issue, is there one project that you would like to work on?
I don't know if I could actually describe a project, but there is some information that I would like to have in my back pocket. And that's really getting a good firm handle on exactly how much the invasive species that we've got going on in Mille Lacs right now are impacting our walleye carrying capacity. That to me is just pretty much the million-dollar question. So in other words, what could we really be managing for? And so to that end, I guess I would like to have some kind of a really good food web analysis conducted on our lake.
All right, and then the final question, if there is one point or one principle that you could have programmed in everyone's head, what would it be?
Whenever we get interviewed, in a newspaper or something, and the newspaper column gets published on the web, there's an awful lot of people that have to comment on the types of things that we said, or how they believe the lake is functioning. And I guess what I would really like people to understand is that we do try to use the best available science when we're making our management decisions. And, but that's really just like one part of the whole equation. A big part of the management decisions that we have to make are taking into consideration social aspects of what's going on. You know, so in other words, we're dealing with people's, you know, in some cases, livelihoods when we're talking about resorts. And we're also impacting people's recreational time. And so there's really a lot of competing interests. And even within the angling community, not everybody's on the same page. But we really have to take everyone's issues, you know, into consideration when we make management decisions. And because of that, there's always going to be some people that feel that somehow they were shorted on their input. But you know, the reality is that we really do try very hard to take people's input into consideration. And but ultimately, we have to make a decision that's going to be best for the long-term health of the resource.
Well, Tom, thank you for coming on the podcast today. It was a pleasure hearing about you and the work you're doing up there in Minnesota.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
If people want to find out more information or get a hold of you, what would be the best way to do that?
You can go to the Minnesota DNR webpage, and you can do a search for Mille Lacs Lake Area Fisheries Office, and my contact information is there. And we're also working on updating a lot of the information on that page, so we should have some information there about what our current sampling programs are and, you know, the types of things that we're going to be planning to do in the future.
And if anyone listening doesn't believe that Tom's information is on the website, that is exactly how I got a hold of him. So it's out there.
Excellent.
And if you would like to get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter at FisheriesPod, on Facebook at facebook.com/fisheriespodcast, or old-fashioned email feedback@thefisheriespodcast.com. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. You can download and subscribe to future episodes on your favorite listening app or stream it from Spotify or thefisheriespodcast.com. I am Nick Kramer, and thank you for listening to the 31st episode of The Fisheries Podcast. And remember, management decisions consider science, but also the social input.